Blog Talk Radio.
Advocates Radio, Voices Care for Animals, number 319 shows this evening and counting. And we're going to keep on going because I am relentless, and being a voice for the voices is so well worth it because we're making sure the animals, we're speaking out to have their lives and futures better and to let them live in comfort and freedom and dignity and respect. So I want to, you know, welcome all you new listeners aboard. I hope you enjoy the show and keep spreading the word out there. You know, tell your family, your relatives, your neighbors, your coworkers about this show, your sons and daughters, because the more voices that are out there, the better, and the strength in numbers. So whatever we can do to, you know, make it better for these animals that's in need and distress, because they deserve to live in, you know, comfort and be happy and free from fear, anxiety, torture, neglect, abuse. All of that is totally uncalled for. The animals are innocent and defenseless, helpless, and voiceless. So we have to be there. You know, we have to be their voices and take that action, everyone, is the key to unlock the door to all changes to be made. Bringing the negative into the positive, and it can be done. I just want to go over a couple things here before we get started. This show is coming live from the PPJ Gazette Online. And that's www.ppjg.me. And big shout out to Marty Oakley. That's her website, and she promotes it every Thursday on the show. And I used to be a host on her network, TS Radio Network, and she's still going hot and heavy, almost 14 years. She has a lot of hot topics on her show, so if you want to ever check them out, just go to the PPJ Gazette Online and press follow on the right-hand column under Blog Stats, and every time there's a new podcast, whether it's hers or mine, it will appear in your primary email. And also you can search on the right-hand column, Voices Carry for Animals, and it'll take you to the links of the former shows. And they're all awesome, everyone. This radio platform, Stay, you know, speaks out for all animals in need and distress. Voices Carry for Animals is all animals. So whatever you can do to help out, it'll be great. I mean, so inspiring and encouraging. And I'm going to be taking calls later part of the show. And the number is, it's the same phone number every Thursday. And you can also use Skype, area code 310-982-4270. Press 1, you'll be in the queue, and that'll alert me that you want to come on live air. Just, you know, make sure you stay, you know, refrain from any noises in the background, radios, TVs, conversations, and you're more than welcome to come on board. If you want to go to the website where these shows are at, it's blogtalkradio.com/voicescarryforanimals. Press what link you want to hear, and then wait a minute to download, and it will play. You can share from the left side of the screen to other social media sites, Facebook, Twitter. You can email it. You can copy it. The crosses, all of them. So you can always get involved more and or visit Voices Carry for Animals support group. I'm one of the main admins, and along with some other great admins. So, you know, we'll do your part. And a big shout out to them for doing their part. Keep it going because I can't always be there. But we're going to have another great show tonight. It's going to be Pat Craig. He's the founder and executive director of the Wild Animal Sanctuary out there in Colorado. And it's awesome. I mean, I was checking out the website and the Facebook page, Twitter, and it is awesome, everyone. It's a 10,500-acre network of nonprofit sanctuary with more than 600 rescued lions, tigers, bears, wolves, and other large animals. Lions, tigers, bears, and other captive wildlife are rescued from illegal or abusive situations and then rehabilitated so they can then be released into a large acreage, natural habitats where they live, roam, and play with others of their kind of their rest of their lives. And our topic is going to be tonight the current situation with the captive wildlife in the United States, discuss recent rescues and what wild animal sanctuary are currently working on to help all wild animals in captivity. So I'm going to bring him on, and I hope everyone enjoys the show and, you know, keep spreading the word out there because we are the voices of the animals, and we will make sure it carries on. But go ahead. Well, welcome to the show, Pat Craig. How are you this evening? So excited to have you.
Well, thank you.
Awesome.
I appreciate you having us.
Yes. And, I mean, it's just, I was checking out the website. This is amazing. All the animals and stuff, and they look happy, and, you know, they're roaming around free. And that's what they all should be doing. You know, they being in circuses and zoos, that's no life for them. You know, but you want to go ahead and tell the audience a little bit about yourself, how you got started, and you're out in Colorado, and we'll go from there. And we'll, you know, talk about the captive wildlife next. Go right ahead. Welcome aboard.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I've been doing this now for 41 years. I started when I was 17 years old. I didn't grow up expecting to rescue lions and tigers and bears, but I found out that many of these animals were being euthanized on a regular basis in the zoo system back then, and they just had more than they had space for. So every time they couldn't find a home for one of them, they would euthanize them. And I ended up starting the first sanctuary in the country for large carnivores. And built a facility on the farm that I grew up on outside of Boulder, Colorado, and started running around the country picking up lions and tigers and bears from zoos that were going to euthanize them. And eventually it led to where I started to receive calls from sheriff's departments and fish and game departments at states, and even the USDA and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife would call and say, hey, we just found a tiger in somebody's house, or a tiger or a bear underneath in the barn, or someplace that somebody had tried to keep one as a pet or was abusing them and trying to breed them. And so they would say, there's no place for them to go, so if you don't come get them, then we're just going to go ahead and kill them. And so I started to switch from going to zoos to these emergency rescues all over the country where law enforcement was involved and was either confiscating the animals or knew about them and was, you know, was going to force them to release them so they could be cared for properly. And so it basically ended up driving all over the country picking up animals. But the one thing that I learned early on was I didn't want to just keep them in a cage that was more traditional back then, because 41 years ago, the regulations and laws required animals to be kept in these really, you know, sterile enclosures with concrete floors and metal roofs and steel bars or chain link walls. And I knew that we wanted to get them back into a more natural situation, just like we would live in the wild, but with obviously getting support for food and healthcare. And so that's when I started the sanctuary and started building these large acreage habitats where once we rescued an animal, we would rehabilitate them so they could roam freely in these large habitats that range anywhere from, you know, 5 acres to 300 acres in size and be able to live with other animals like themselves. And so not only were we saving these animals from dying, we wanted to make sure that they had a good life until such time that they got old and, you know, passed away naturally. And so that's kind of in a nutshell how I got started at the sanctuary. And obviously over the last 41 years, we've grown immensely and are now the largest carnivore sanctuary in the world.
Wow, that is amazing. The largest, too. And you started at 17 years old. Animal lover, real men, real women, real children love animals. And that's awesome what you've been doing. I mean, so inspiring and encouraging. And one,
thank you.
Pat, if you could give out the audience your website and, you know, your Facebook page, because everyone take a moment and look at this. I mean, it is amazing how these animals look so happy. And you can even take tours. People are going there. You know, you have walkways where you can visit them. It's not a zoo. It's a sanctuary, everyone. So they're roaming free. You can have tours for the school kids and everything. I think that is wonderful, Pat. Wow. I'm
okay.
Amazed. But go ahead and give out your website and how people can help out also, okay? Go right ahead.
Sure. Yeah, our website is wildanimalsanctuary.org, so wildanimalsanctuary.org. And our Facebook is facebook.com/wildanimalsanctuary. But basically, you know, our website is great for people to go there and see, you know, actual videos of rescues where we go get these animals and rehabilitation stories and rescue stories where animals have been saved and from really horrific places and get to have a new life. And as you mentioned, our walkway is what's really unique because two of our facilities, we have three sanctuaries, but two of them are not open to the public, and the one that is open to the public has an elevated walkway so that it doesn't put any pressure on the animals. People can visit and be on this walkway, you know, anywhere from 16 to 40 feet in the air, where they're going over all the habitats that these animals live in, and so the animals are living more like they're just in the wild, and so it's kind of like going on a safari, but you're walking on a very safe platform and being able to observe the animals safely. And as far as the animals are concerned, they don't even pay attention to the people and don't even feel like they're there. So it's a lot different than going to a zoo or someplace where you're on the ground, because that's a threat to the animals and makes them very nervous to have strangers outside their territory. But when you're up on a walkway, they don't consider the sky or air to be territory. So they are very comfortable with people visiting in that manner.
Wow, that's awesome. And you know, Pat, the animals really thank us when their lives change for the better, and their futures they just can't tell us, but we can tell by photos and how they're acting and that they're comfortable. So it's not like we're, you know, spinning our wheels. We put effort into it, and the more of us that come together and do something and say, hey, enough is enough. You know, these animals have been through so much, and hopefully one day we'll see all of them, you know, out of the zoos and out of the circuses and living life like they should be, because that captive wildlife is not right for them, and they can't be happy, you know. So
Right. Whatever
we can do to get them into the safe environments that they belong in. I was looking at some of the photos, and I was like, wow. And even on LinkedIn, I share a lot of stuff on there from you, and beautiful pictures and videos. Wow. I mean, I'm just so impressed. You know, I look at them like, look at these animals. I mean, they're so comfortable and happy, and they're just, you know, they're doing the happy dance, you know, and there's some of their families, and that's where it should be, you know. So keep up the great
nice.
Work you're doing. Wow.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
Hope to,
I mean,
hope
it would be
nice
more. To have the animals. Yeah, hopefully. It would be nice to have animals never be in those situations where they have to be rescued or live in these captive situations. But obviously that's been existing for hundreds of years where people have felt the need to do that. But also now, you know, with territory in the wild and habitat in the wild disappearing at alarming rates, you know, there's a lot of these animals that even though they're trying to save them from going extinct, they're probably still going to go extinct just based on the fact that the space out there and the habitat space is being shrunk down so much that, you know, they just can't even survive anymore. And so we really have a problem. Where we used to think about, we just rescue animals and hopefully, you know, get them back to the wild or at least, you know, help with special programs to save the wild animals. But, you know, in Africa, we all know about tigers in Asia and how they've gone from, you know, hundreds of thousands down to just 3,000 or 3,500 tigers in the wild and in a matter of, you know, 150 years. Well, the African lions now, which most people don't think are endangered, have gone from over 100,000, you know, just a short time, 10 years ago to, you know, or a little bit more than that. And now they're down to, you know, 30,000 or whatever. And so they're shrinking extremely fast as well, just because of their space being taken away. And so we do everything we can to help animals that should be in the wild, but are in captivity. But there's also this other whole factor of people not knowing that, you know, the fight to save animals in the wild is a losing battle right now.
Mm. And it shouldn't be a losing battle. You know, it should be, you know, animal should have rights, not kicked to the curb or ignored. They have every right to live on this earth, to share it with us, because we're all here temporarily. You know, we got to make the best of it. And so many animal rights are just like, getting so ignored and overlooked, and it's so sad. I mean, they can't speak out for themselves. They deserve any respect and live comfortably. You know, there's so much to work on. I mean, seen a lot of victories, but there's still more to work on. We'll, you know, reach this destination all in good time. We just can't give up, because we give up and we automatically lose, and we can't have that. You know, we got to keep the strength going and get stronger, and because we're into the 21st century, heading to the 22nd century, and we got to stand up for all these animals, you know, even the ones that's not born yet. Just like humans, we want our rights all the way, and so do the animals, and they should, you know, because some of them live in captivity, can't move, they can't go nowhere, they can't socialize. I mean, it's terrible. It's like being a total slave, and that's sickening, you know, so it's not right on them, you know. So what's the current situation with the captive wildlife in the United States?
Well, it's definitely a battle that not only our sanctuary, but others have been fighting for quite a long time. And So we are making headway, and there are new laws, and there's, you know, always more laws coming, but, you know, it comes down to there's people that still break the law and do things like that. But in general, there's about 20,000 lions, tigers, bears, wolves, leopards, mountain lions, things like that, that are outside of the zoo system in private hands in the United States today. So there's just, you know, thousands of these animals that are in these really, you know, unnatural situations, and many of them are being exploited. There was obviously a show last year that Netflix did that was called Tiger King, and it was a very controversial show, and showed all the kind of crazy people that are breeding and trying to use, you know, baby tigers and other baby animals like that for profit. And then once the baby's not, you know, handleable anymore, and it's 4 or 5 months old, then they just want to dump it or get rid of it because it's not going to make them any more money. And so there's quite a few of these people out there that are adding to the problem rather than helping fix the problem. And so our sanctuary rescues, you know, well over 100 animals a year that are from places like that, and tries to give them a wonderful home, of course. And but they, you know, we're fighting a hard battle when these people are breeding like crazy. And so stopping the breeding is like the number one way that we could, you know, solve this problem today.
You know, work together because, you know, the zoos, I mean, that's no place for them at all. And the circuses, they get just, you know, they can't not be enjoying it. I mean, it just doesn't, I'm not into going to zoos and circuses, and because I think it's, you know, why is this needed? You know, I mean, let the animals live freely. If they was an animal, they would want to live freely, you know, and out there with their families and socialize and living in comfort and peace and just doing it the way it should be, you know, because being captured is not good at all.
No, not at all. I mean, none of these animals want to, you know, live in a cage and have no rights. And the irony of that is one of the biggest offenders that I spoke about that was breeding and using animals and had a roadside zoo was convicted and sent to prison for 22 years. And after about 4 months in prison, he said, you know, I would never keep an animal in a cage now that I've actually had to stay in a cage for 4 months. He said, now I see what kind of life they had, where they were just stuck here with nothing to do, living, you know, totally unnatural life for even a human, let alone a lion or a tiger or something like that. And so it was a nice turnaround for somebody that was one of the biggest offenders to really see what life was like inside of a cage, and then be able to speak out and say, you know what, I everything I did for the last 30 years was horrific because now I'm the caged animal and I know what it's like.
Oh, yeah, he's experienced it, and that's what it's like for him, you know, being in jail or prison. So he knows.
Yeah.
He knows the front lines now. He can say that. Oh, it's not fair, you know, with these animals, because that's the way they're getting treated.
Yeah,
you know? And
that's how it was when I first started. I was rescuing animals from being euthanized, but then I had to put them in those same kind of cages, and I thought, well, this isn't helping anything because I'm just keeping them alive and putting them from their cage into my cage. And so, you know, our organization was the one that got the laws changed to where animals could live in natural habitats and not have to live in a cage. And that took a lot of years of working with the state and federal government to change the regulations and realize that these animals shouldn't be kept in those kind of cages and that they could live in a natural habitat where they have, you know, the ability to run and swim and play and not have, you know, the pressure of unnatural things like, you know, machines or people or whatever else there's out there. And so, you know, it was great that we've been able to do that, but it wasn't an easy battle. It took a long time to convince the government that, you know, these animals deserve that and that they could be kept that way.
Mm-hmm. And out there at the wild animal sanctuary, we wanted to discuss also some recent rescues that you've had. And that's awesome. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I just returned, in fact, day before yesterday from Chicago. We just flew in two bears from Lebanon over there. Of course, people have heard about, you know, they've had all sorts of problems, but like there was a giant explosion last year or the year before, and there was all this political upheaval, and then obviously the pandemic, and so the zoo over there, the private zoo that this person had was failing terribly, and the animals were just suffering and not being fed and cared for and no medical help. And we worked with an organization out of Europe called Four Paws and helped rescue those animals, as well as Animals Lebanon, which is a group that's over there. And we were able to fly two of the bears that were in that zoo and flew them into Chicago and brought them back. We met them in Chicago and brought them back to the sanctuary, or the refuge, I should say, just 2 days ago. And so now these two bears will get rehabilitated, and then they'll be able to live in a 103-acre habitat with other brown bears. And it's a completely forested space with, you know, sorts of rocks and hills and trees and water. And so it's like almost going back to living in the wild. So that was our most recent rescue. And so we've rescued many of the other animals from that same zoo and other places around the country and around the world as well. We've just recently rescued two tigers out of Argentina that were in a zoo that closed. And then here in the United States, there's been one of the other big offenders, like the gentleman that went to the prison that I spoke of. The guy that took over his operation when he went to prison was even worse than the guy that went to prison. And so the Department of Justice went in, and we went with them and confiscated 68 lions and tigers from that place and able to get them loaded out and placed in sanctuaries around the country. And our sanctuary took in 35 of those lions and tigers, and this was only probably 8 weeks ago.
Wow, 68 of them? That
right.
is a large amount. Whoa.
Yeah.
And look at you, Pat, all the inspiring work you're doing and how much you're helping animals out. This is wonderful. I mean, just it's so uplifting what you're doing. You're bringing them to safety. And they're happy, you know, they're, and everyone in the audience out there, if you're coming in late, you can always go back to the show. All shows are recorded live and archived on Blog Talk Radio. So you can always go back and listen, go to the PPJ Gazette online, or go to Blog Talk Radio and search Voices Carry for Animals. But this is wonderful, Pat, what you're doing. I mean, you have a lot of volunteers, too, on the property that help out?
Yeah, we do. With the three different facilities we have, we currently feed over 80,000 pounds of food a week. And so we need an army of people to be able to feed those animals. We have over 650 rescued animals of lions and tigers and bears and wolves and leopards and other ends. And so we have over 160 volunteers that work here and help feed the animals, as well as we have about 80 paid staff members that help also work and obviously maintain and build habitats and collect the food and bring it to the facility. And so then between the volunteers and the staff, again, we feed 80,000 pounds of food a week to keep these animals healthy and happy. And of course, we have our own veterinary hospital and full-time veterinarians on staff. And you know, we provide everything these animals need to be healthy and happy and fed well. And then obviously, like you said, living in the big natural habitats that are more like as if they never were taken from the wild.
Wow, this is just so, this is uplifting to bring these animals like this. And audience, please visit, if you get a chance, on the website, it'll just flip you out how this place, 10,500 acre network sanctuary, looks and everything, the walkway and everything. And it's in as a Keensburg, Colorado, Pat.
Yeah, that's where the primary sanctuary that's open to the public is, and then we have a sanctuary in Springfield, which is South Colorado, and then we have one in Texas as well.
Wow, this is so, it's inspiring, because these animals, they deserve to be in freedom, you know, and I bet you could tell they're all happy. That's, well, I was looking at these photos and videos, and I was like, these animals are happy. They are happy campers, and
yeah.
Look what you did. You're the hero. You are an animal hero. Yes.
Well, thank you. And it takes a lot of people to do this, but thank you for saying that. I definitely started it, but we have a army of people now that work there and volunteer. And as you said in the beginning of the show, you know, the main thing is you want us to see these pictures and videos, and they speak for themselves is how comfortable and happy the animals are, because many of these animals, if you read their rescue stories, which are also on the website, they came, every one of them came from some place that was really bad and horrific, and there's a few exceptions where, you know, we've helped retired animals from zoos or other things like that where they weren't necessarily abused at all, but needed a place to go. But anyway, the 99.9% of the animals are always rescued from some horrific condition or situation.
Yeah, and I can't believe, you know, when you see these stories where somebody was keeping a Bengal tiger in their house. I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's not comfortable for a Bengal tiger living in a house, or, you know, it's so wrong, or in a barn, or, I mean, taking these wild animals and trying to make them pets out of them, and it's not right. It's not their freedom. And it's just, it's like, whoa, what are they doing? Why does somebody need a Bengal tiger living in their house? I mean, that is captive right there. You know,
yeah, so, and it never works out. You know, that's the thing is, even 99% of the people out there know that, you know, they wouldn't even get a tiger because they right away know that it's not going to work. If it was possible, people would have been doing it for hundreds of years, and it's not possible to keep one. So the few minor percent that does it is still a lot of people. If you look at 1% of 350 million people, that's still a lot of people that somehow thought that they could do it. And of course, once they get one in, they usually buy a cub, and then within, you know, 3 or 4 months, it's tearing up the house and it's scratching everybody and biting. And a lot of times they escape and get out and bite a neighbor or do something else. And so, you know, a lot of these animals end up getting confiscated and going to sanctuaries, but there's quite a few that never even make it that far. They usually die because the people didn't feed them right. They weren't, you know, given them the proper nutrition, or, you know, accidentally left them in the wrong place, and they either froze to death or got injured or whatever. But so there's a large percentage of the animals that we never even get to see just because of that. But the ones that we get the calls for, you know, those are the ones that we can get out there really quickly and rescue them and get them out of that situation and bring them back and then rehabilitate them so that they can live a nice life.
Oh, yeah. Now, this is so heartwarming. And audience out there, if you would like to call in any comments or questions for Pat Craig, the founder and executive director of the Wild Animal Sanctuary, you're more than welcome to area code 310-982-4270. You're in the queue. Press 1 and alert me to let you know you want to come on air live. Just try to refrain from any noises in the background, TVs, radios, conversations, and you're more welcome to come on board. You know, so been show dignity and respect on all my shows. That's all I ask. But go ahead, Pat. This is so heartwarming and so uplifting what you're doing. I mean, you know, you're bringing the negative into the positive, and it can be done. And it takes teamwork to do that. You know, we're all here for, to do something and to help get positive changes made. We like to see those, you know, victories. We like to hear good news. Things change for the better. Because we all know how much going on out there just doing these shows, you know, how much it's not a pretty picture for a lot of animals out there. And that's what we're here for. We're not going to give up. We're relentless.
Sure.
And we're going to
the main thing
going.
Is, for us, you know, we do a lot of great work in rescuing animals and giving them a good home, but obviously that doesn't come cheap. You know, our organization is a nonprofit organization, and of course people make donations and donate in-kind materials as well, like cars or other vehicles or whatever they want to donate that we can turn around and you know, sell for cash or whatever. But most people make donations or sign up to adopt an animal where they're virtually adopting a lion or a tiger and helping support them. And then they get a special adoption package or whatever we're going to do for for that help. But it takes, you know, literally hundreds of thousands of people to donate to cover the expenses for taking care of 650 lions and tigers and bears. So we have a large group of people that are out there. We don't receive any government funding or any kind of subsidies or anything else. It's only supported by individuals who really believe in the work we're doing, and they make a donation. And, you know, that can be anywhere from a few dollars to some people are well off and they can make a lot, much larger donation, but we don't get any kind of other support than just people caring about what we're doing. We obviously on the website take donations, and we encourage people to do it that way, but they can do donations in a lot of ways. The in-kind and they can go on the website and pledge them, you know, support. Some people send $5 a month or $10 a month, and whatever it is, all together it adds up, because we feed over $8 million worth of food a year.
Yeah, so anybody, whatever you can do to help out, because, you know, these places aren't free, and nothing's free nowadays. It takes money to keep them, you know, the property up, to feed the animals and vets and everything like that. So whatever you can do, keep spreading the word. You know, there's on their website, I noticed, and I put it on the radio promo, where wildanimalsanctuary.org/copy of ways to help. You know, volunteer, mm-hmm. donate, whatever you can do, and see, you know, today and futures of these animals living in comfort and healthy and happy and doing the happy dance. You know, let them roam and play and be themselves, not tied up to somebody that's, you know, a jail warden to them. You know, we got to get them free, because they don't.
Yes, sir.
Because I remember Nosy the elephant in New Jersey. It was a victory there, Pat. She got her own hall and it's a sanctuary.
Yep.
I know I've had 6 shows on her, you know, because I've been on there over a little over 7
sure.
years. And I was like, I did the happy dance when I heard that. Her own law in New Jersey,
yep.
Nosy's Law, where the elephants and the tigers and the bears, they can't use them in the circuses no more, which is great. You know,
yep.
so, and that took a lot of teamwork. I remember working, you know, I'll have them on air. Now there's Lucy up in Canada
yep.
that needs to
yep.
go to a sanctuary. You know, so I've had, you know, several, many shows on wild animals, you know, and I will continue to do so, because they all
great.
Lives matter, including all the animals, and I will keep it up, because that's what matters.
Absolutely. That's great of
you. You know, whatever it takes. I mean, I have
to. Yeah, that's wonderful.
You keep doing, you know, outside of this radio platform, I keep doing, you know, helping out any way I can on all. You know, Facebook or LinkedIn, Twitter, Pinterest, whatever I can get out there, because when I add them all up together and I'm admins on a lot of pages and groups, it's a lot of people if they're active,
sure.
you know,
yeah.
and
yeah.
getting them, you know, press that share button, everyone, because that's what matters. That like button shows no justice, you know,
yeah.
or the laughing one or the, you know, or wow.
Yeah.
But press that share button, because taking action is the key, you know, getting to positive changes to be made. And if you close our eyes or close our ears and our mouths, there's nothing good going to come out of it. So please keep your eyes open, your ears open. If there's something you don't like, or, you know, do something, say something, because your voice matters. Your actions matter. You know, more, there's millions of people out there. You know, on in America, what, over 320 million? So,
yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of people. And contact your legislators. You know, they, you know, let them hear from you. Area code 202-224-3121. Give your zip code, you know, during business hours. And, you know, try to contact them. If you can't, leave a voicemail or a message, you know, you can write them, email them, show up in person, fax them. There's so many ways you can help make changes from the comfort of your home, your computer, your phone, your copier. You know, it's so many. I mean, it's amazing. Yep. I got so fast, Pat, that I sit there, I bring like 5 tabs up, and I'm sharing, and I'm moving so fast it makes my head spin. You know,
yeah,
I'm getting the word out. Yeah, and when I get on Twitter, I tag people. I tag all kinds of people. I mean, big groups.
Sure.
And it gets out there, and my notification is going off. So that is a plus. It's not staying zero.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so
it's all about the people caring. You know, that's just it is. You know, if people valued animals as much as they did anything else, then they wouldn't be in that situation.
That's right. Because we got to look towards today and the future. We can't change the past, but we can learn from the past and make changes to it and not let it, you know, keep going as it is, because these animals deserve the best of the best. And that's what they're here for, to share this earth with us, not to get rid of them and you know, just ignore them and treat them badly, you know. So, and if they were abused or neglected, I've seen some horrific stories out there on these animals, some of these animals, and it's like, how could anybody be so cruel and heartless and just treat them so badly? They don't deserve that, you know. And with the changes you're helping to bring in, you know, with wild animals in captivity, let's hope one day it's going to be in the past, the zoos and the circuses, you know, and hopefully.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, now I want to do a show on canned hunting. That is so cruel, and that also, you know, and it's terrible.
It's still a big industry in Texas. You know, they keep a kind of a low profile, but there's a highway in Texas that's down near the border of Mexico that's a smaller 2-lane highway where we call it the Hunting Ranch Highway. And you can go for over 100 miles down that highway, and on every side, both sides of the highway are hunting ranches, and you can actually see the animals from the highway that are caged up waiting to be, you know, released to where somebody can shoot them in a small paddock, or sometimes they get chained up and somebody comes and shoots them when they can't even run away. And there's still a huge industry in Texas of that. And there's other ones obviously around the country, but this one area of Texas is a well-protected area where they have a lot of money. And so they have, you know, people that are lobbyists that go into the state capitol and won't let them pass any kind of laws to outlaw hunting ranches or any of that kind of stuff. And so, you know, most people don't realize that there's still a huge industry of that that goes on, and it's more protected now, so they don't let people realize that it's as big as it is. But there's, you know, hundreds if not thousands of animals down there that are just being raised to be shot by somebody that wanted to pay a lot of money to shoot it.
That is so sickening. I mean, it's so unfair to the animals too. You know, I seen a video of it and I couldn't even finish watching it. You know, it just made me sick. It's like, really?
Yeah.
Why is this going on? This is so cruel and horrific for these animals. You know, what do they do to deserve this? That's what gets me, you know?
Well, again, it comes back to, you know, people that see them as commodities or things that are just here for them to consume and not necessarily see them as another living being that, you know, suffers the way that they suffer or has, you know, any of the other feelings that we have. And I always tell people that, you know, if people just cared about them as much as they care about, you know, humans themselves, then we wouldn't really have this problem. But there's millions and millions of people out there that, like yourself, that, you know, really care and really feel emotion and compassion and empathy for these animals and want to do something to help them. And there's millions more out there that, you know, like I said, just think that they're there, put there to, you know, to consume and shoot and hunt and abuse and use and try to make money off of them. And so if those people could, you know, grow up in a better environment where they were taught, you know, to respect animals and that animals had feelings and deserved every bit of life as much as they did, and that would make a big difference, and we wouldn't have all this going on. But it's harder and harder to get people to you know, to teach their children and to raise them in the right way to where they respect animals and care for them and have compassion and all that. So the key is to try and get, you know, society to change, because if we keep, you know, having more and more people that just look at them as nothing more than a commodity, it's never going to get fixed.
That's right. That is so true. You know, teach the children while they're young so they grow up,
yep,
and show, you know, animal dignity and respect, you know, so.
Yep.
Wow. Yep, that's what it takes. Changing people and making people aware and alert what's going on. You know, some people get too busy with their, you know, work schedules and their family lives and everything, and they're not aware of what's really going on behind the scenes. You know, so get the word out there, everyone. You know, not just with social media, but when you're around your family members or friends, neighbors, let them know, because, you know, even share whatever you can to make things better. Petition, sign them, call your legislators. I mean, we can do this. We can't say no, it won't happen or it can't happen, because it can happen. We can make a better future for these animals. They feel pain just like we do. You know, they have emotions. They get sick. They have issues. You know, they can't, we can bond with them. I mean, bond between a human and an animal, if you open your heart, it's magical. It's beautiful. You know, so that's what more people's got to do. So more compassion in this world, kindness. It doesn't take, it takes zero to be kind to a human or animal, nothing.
Sure.
And that's what we need more of, kindness in this world. Let it start here and go viral. You know, here are the good stories, the good news. Because there's so
absolutely.
Much bad news out there that it's like, whoa, we got to do something about this. We got to bring them good news stories in. You know, getting them whatever the rescue is, tigers, bears, wolves, lions, dogs, cats. I mean, they're all included. Horses.
No, absolutely.
I mean, it's amazing what we can do. I mean, the more, and Ray Bittner, she's mama cat. She's out there, lives out in Colorado there, Pat, and everything.
Oh, yeah?
And she was a former guest on the show. She takes care of 125 stray cats. And and the colonies and everything. And she's got a huge heart. And she crosses over and helps other animals out. It's amazing what she does. And she has her grandson and granddaughter working with them and helping animals out. So she's starting them out young. They was a guest on the show a couple years ago. And they did wonderful guest speaking for the animals, you know, telling their classmates. And that's where it gets started. You got to start from the roots and work your way up, you know, to help these animals out. And the right animal rights. Fight for the fight for what is right, not what's wrong.
Yeah, right.
Make their lives better, comfortable, peace, love, care, happiness. It means so much, because most of them been through, you know, being abused or neglected. You know, so they're coming into a freedom of home and. And when I looked at the photos, I was like, wow, check this out. You know, these animals, they're playing in the water and they're running. And it's just such a great feeling to see that positivity coming right at you, you know.
Yeah,
and that's what
absolutely.
These shows. Yep.
Yep.
Yep. And you say you on this at the place, you allow classes to come there for field trips, right? Is that the
kids we have
come in there?
Lots of- Yeah, we have groups. We have a lot of Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts and school groups that are close enough. Most of our sanctuaries are in the rural areas where the animals have more space. So the one in Keenesburg, you know, it's a little bit outside of Denver, but we still get a lot of people out there every year that come out and see the animals and learn about their story. Because, again, it's not about entertainment. It's about coming out and learning and trying to figure out a way that you can help the animals, you know, through, like you say, sharing or spreading the word or donating or doing whatever they're going to do to help. And so it's definitely not like a zoo or wherever. It's just for entertainment.
Yeah, I mean, I bet they all love it out there. I mean, they have to, you know, just and they're learning this. That's very educational too, you know.
Right.
And seeing them, you know, right there, not confined in a zoo jail cell. It's out there running free, and they have to love that. I mean, I just enjoyed the pictures of it and said, wow, check
this out.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of amazing because people are, you know, we all grow up conditioned in different ways. And, you know, I was born and raised here in Colorado, and I went to the zoo as a child. My parents took me in, and you saw, you know, giraffes and lions and tigers and other animals there, elephants and. And so you saw them in that setting, and, you know, you didn't really think about it at the time because it was about seeing the animals in real life. And, you know, back 100 years ago or 150 years ago when, you know, zoos were first starting to show up, you know, originally it was about the fact that over 100 years ago there wasn't any kind of, you know, color printing and things like that. So people, the only way that a poor person who couldn't travel was never going to see a giraffe or an elephant or a leopard or a tiger was in a book, and it was usually just a drawing, a black and white drawing of a sketch, more or less, of an animal. And so that was as close as they ever got to learning that there are other animals outside of wherever they lived. And so eventually when zoos started to come along, you know, that was the first time that people could go and see an elephant in real life or see a giraffe or a lion or a tiger. And most people back then were in awe and took that experience and found an appreciation for wildlife and wanted to help wildlife and cared about wildlife. And, you know, but over the years, so much of that has changed to where, you know, people travel all over the world now and get to go see these animals and have much more experiences. And then the people that may not have even enough money to travel now can still watch amazing shows on TV and in high definition. You know, they'll see Planet Earth or something like that where you're seeing animals that, some guy went out and sat in a blind for 3 months straight to film a rare bird that does something that nobody's ever seen in real life. And so it's a little different now where, you know, 100 some years ago, you looked at a black and white sketch and that was your best experience of an animal, a wild animal. And nowadays people are seeing things in full definite high definition color and going, you know, and seeing these animals all around the world. So zoos and their original purposes changed dramatically, and now it's more about conservation and trying to help animals in the wild through, you know, exposing people to the zoo and then saying, hey, you know, this isn't the way, the life for them, the life is in the wild, but we want you to still be able to see them. And so a lot of zoos are really conflicted in the sense of trying to help with conservation, but yet at the same time having to still keep animals captive. So it's definitely a hard thing to justify in these days when people can see it in so many other ways.
Oh, yeah. And keep that work up, that great inspiring work you're doing, Pat, because you're a true inspiration to humans and animals. I mean, you're a positive impact.
Well,
wow.
Thank you.
Yes. And it's in 41 years also you've been there for them. You're their hero right there. Wow.
Yep.
Bringing them out of abusive and illegal situations. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
And everybody out there, if you're in Colorado listening in, it's a 10,500-acre network. If you haven't been there yet, check it. It's probably worth going there, traveling, to see this.
Yeah.
I wish it was here in Florida. Be there tomorrow.
Yeah, definitely.
That would be wonderful.
That's the thing, you know, it's good for people to see it in person because when they first get there, you know, like we talked about, they're conditioned and they're used to going to a zoo or someplace and they start walking down the walkway and they're walking quite quickly and not really paying attention because they're expecting to come across a lion or a tiger or some animal that's going to be like on the other side of a glass wall or right in front of them or, you know, 10 feet away or any which what they're used to seeing in a very compact zoo situation. And so when they get there and they're walking and they don't see anything at first, it's because they're not slowing down and stopping and looking, you know, into the deep grass. And then you see, oh, there's a lion laying in that deep grass right there with another three lions or five lions, and it's a pride of lions, and they're living like they would in the wild where they're, you know, sleeping many hours of the day, and but they're living together in a group and so they can walk right past that because it's not presented to them like they're used to, where it's front and center. And in a zoo, those animals have no place to go. They're always on exhibit, where in our sanctuaries, the animals have these habitats that sometimes are a half a mile long, and they can just go off a half a mile away. And so we obviously encourage people to bring binoculars and that kind of thing to see, because sometimes you walk right over the top of animals that are right below you, and other times they're way out in their natural habitat, and they're, you know, sleeping in the shade and under a tree or whatever. And so when people finally get down the walkway a ways, they start to learn to slow down and really look, and then they start to really appreciate they're seeing an animal in a much different setting where it's not pacing back and forth and nervous, and they're like, wow, these animals are really just doing what they're, you know, their own life, and they're living, and we have no impact on that, and we're here just as quiet observers, like kind of like a fly on the wall. And so by the time people finish visiting, they change their whole outlook on, they say first thing that people most say is most common is, I can never go back to a zoo now after I've seen animals live like this. And so it's great to see that we can change that perception of people, and they can realize that, you know, these animals can be where they can still see them, but be happy living the way they would want to live and not be stuck in a small space just to be on exhibit.
Right, exactly. I mean, if it teaches people's mind, that is a huge plus. You know, hey, they belong in sanctuary, everyone. You know, they're right there. They're happy. They're comfortable. They're living in freedom with their families. They don't have to be scrunched up and have no space to move or socialize.
Right.
So right. This is a big positive impact right here. I love to see all of them in there like that, and all over the world, not just the United States, all over the world.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that wouldn't that be wonderful if that happened? Maybe one day, if we're still on this earth, we could see that. But, Pat, we're down to 3 minutes here. I can't thank you enough for coming on air tonight live. This has been another wonderful show, and I want to invite you back again and again and see the progress.
Well, thank
okay?
you. Yeah,
and I'll be in contact with you. All the shows are recorded live and archived on Blog Talk Radio. So it'll be everyone. The show should be downloaded in like half hour after the show finishes up to go back and listen and share and get the word out, because voices do carry for the animals. It's up to us to make it happen. You know.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, Pat Craig, founder and executive director of the Wild Animal Sanctuary. Thank you so very much. And everyone out there, listeners, please visit the website, www.wildanimalsanctuary.org, or go on Facebook, the Wild Animal Sanctuary, and also on Twitter. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in this evening, because this has been another great show. And look, next week we'll be we're going to welcome back Marty Irby from Animal Wellness Action. He's executive director of that, and he's going to be we'll be speaking on several issues here about the wild horses and Anarchy, and trying to get people to help stop horse slaughter. It's illegal in the United States, but they can ship it out to Mexico and Canada and other countries. So we're trying to get that changed. So we'll have to call our legislators and get them to, you know, HR 3355 and also HR 3684, the Invest Act. The HR 3355 is a SAFE Act. So please call your legislators, and I want to welcome him board. The show's on every Thursday at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Mountain, and 4 o'clock Pacific. Listening worldwide, everyone, you can call in 310-982-4270 and press 1 to speak. You can also use Skype. So please keep passing the word. Everyone have a wonderful and safe evening. And the hero, Pat Craig, thank you so much. You are awesome. This has been
a great, uplifting show.
Yeah.
Well, thank
you. Keep up the inspiring work you're doing. And a big shout out to my mother, Patricia Dahmer. Thanks, Mom, for listening, a.k.a. Moose. You don't look like a moose, but with another name for Mom. I love you, and thanks for all you do. And Ray Bittner, thank you, Mama Cat, for tuning in. Strength in numbers. Thank you, everyone, and everyone have a wonderful and peaceful evening.